Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. All right, good morning. This is Inside Outdoors. My name's Rich Reardon, and today we've got some guests and also Alan Bronenberg. How you doing, Alan?
Hey, guys. Good to see y'all.
Yeah, and like I said, we've got some guests today. I'm excited about introducing Brandon and Amy Barrett from Salt Creek Tackle, who have come on the show to talk about their new business, and we're real excited to hear about that, too. So, again, this is a beautiful day here on Saturday. We tape on Wednesday, but anyway, we are excited about you coming to town. We know you live down in Smithville, and it's an exciting thing that you've been doing. So, again, here's Brandon and Amy Barrett from Salt Creek Tackle. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves, and we'll go from there.
Ladies first.
All right, ladies first. I'm Amy, and we have Salt Creek Tackle.
This was all her idea.
Yeah, this was kind of, yeah. It's been a long process. But yeah, we have Salt Creek Tackle. We just launched. Super excited. This is Brandon. He is the other half of all of this madness. And yeah, we just brought to life Salt Creek Tackle, exposed it to the world, and here we are.
So what everybody wants to know is, are you just a regular old bait shop? What do you do?
We are not a bait shop at all. We are a subscription box company, an all-new subscription box company. And we have, like she mentioned, we threw probably 15, 20 different ideas against the wall, and just nothing would stick. Nothing would stick. And one day, Amy says, well, why don't we start up a subscription box? And I was like, there's like four or five of them already out there. I don't really want to compete for that market share. And she says, no, custom tackle only. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, hand.
Wait a second.
Have to use your hands to make
it. Wow. So that's where this came from. I mean, there's a lot of subscription box companies out there. There's two that are really popular, three, and now we would be the fourth one, but we're totally different. We're not even competing for their market. Ours is custom handmade only.
Smart.
We don't do anything mainstream. The stuff you could go to Bass Pro Shops and find, you're not going to find the stuff that's in this box at Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah, that's great news, guys. I think that, you know, the big box stores, trying to compete with them is just, you know, I was a pharmacist for 40 years. I can tell you, opening up your own pharmacy and trying to compete with CVS makes no sense at all. Zero.
Yes.
So, and I, you know, the craftsmanship, handmade aspect of this, I think, really is a great idea.
Yeah, and this is such an important time, especially where we are in today's age, the things going on, you know, these small businesses and these small business owners, you know, it's a struggle right now. And this is just another platform, you know, for these guys who have this amazing talent to, you know, kind of be presented to the world. And because it's hard, for a small business to get that exposure, and there's no platform for it.
Yeah. Until now.
Until now.
So we are the platform now.
We want to be that platform where we bridge the gap between the, you know, tackle artists, the business owners, and the world, the serious anglers.
Yeah. I think that's just so, you know, insightful. I mean, you've avoided the number one reason most businesses go out of business, and that's the fact that they don't own their own building, their rent goes through the roof, and the next thing you know, you're out of business, even when you might have had a great idea. So I think you've started out the right way here. Certainly in these times, it's the right thing to do. And, why don't you tell us about some of the things that that you're making? What would I want to just, and let's just make it local here. Suppose I live on the south side of the lake, and I do, and I wanted to just start fishing down at Catfish Cove, down at the end of my property, or the cove at the other side, and just cast off, for my shore. What would I have you make for me that, would help me as an angler here?
So we don't actually make any of these baits in this box. Yep. Nothing in here is made by us. I personally, the way I got into this was by making my own baits and building my own fishing rods and learning all that stuff.
Right.
But more than that, what we got to do was we got to meet all these custom tackle guys who are.
Oh, wow.
And so this is, so your general like baits that you're going to find at Walmart or Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, or in any of these other subscription boxes, they're going to be, for instance, a spinner bait. It's going to have a little rubber band on there that holds the skirt on. Well, if you use it for any length of time or you catch a few nice sized fish on it, that skirt's going to be all tore up. And someone who fishes quite a bit will know that the more tore up that skirt gets, the better it catches fish.
Yeah.
The problem with the rubber band is it breaks. And then you've just lost once those lures are chewed up, they catch fish so much better.
Yeah.
And your skirt breaks and you're back to square one. Nothing in our box has a rubber band. Everything is hand tied with wire or thread by a custom tackle guy. And so, but everything, so really our box is geared towards these tournament fishermen. However, yeah.
Just the serious fishermen.
A serious fisherman. But that's not to say that you couldn't get this box. And everything in this box is high quality. You're going to catch fish with it. You'll have, inside every box, there's going to be a wooden, not all of them are going to be balsa, but probably the majority of the wooden baits will be balsa, hand carved. There's going to be wire baits in there. You could find a spinner bait or a buzz bait or possibly a hand-tied jig in there. And then soft plastics as well. And those will all be hand poured in custom colors and molds that you've never seen before.
Nice. So what we would tell you to do is take the box, fish with the array,
anything.
Pull it out and find out what you like. And then that links you between, your serious fishing and then an artist who actually handmade your bait. And you can reach out to them again and say, hey, this worked really down at the cove I was fishing at. And I would like to get, a bulk order or however many, So it's an array. It's a sample of everything.
It is. Yeah. It's a sample of a lot of different baits from different areas in the country. Things that you're not going to be able to find anywhere else, because we do all the digging for you. That's right. The whole premise behind this.
Well, you never know what's going to work out there. You just don't. You can think and then pretty soon after being out there for 2 hours, all of a sudden you realize you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there are. I'm vaguely aware that there are many. Not many, but a handful of artisans around the country that do this kind of thing. So somehow or another, you found those guys, you reached out to them, and you're kind of aggregating their best work into something that, we can buy. I think that's a super idea. Yeah. How'd you come across these people? Did you just in the normal course of doing your own fishing find these guys, or
it all started back in really 2016. Brandon wanted to fish the FLW tour, And I told him, I was like, that's fine. Like, chase your dream, but you're not using family money. You're going to have to find out a way to pay for this incredibly expensive hobby.
As a co-angler, entry fees are $800.
Yeah. And yeah.
Just to enter. That's not gas, food, lodging.
It all started in a shed out back of our house. We fixed it up. And he started repainting old vintage baits and selling them on eBay. And he paid for his first season doing that. And since then, it's just kind of...
So doing that, I met a lot of guys because I'm trying to learn different techniques and things. And
asking
so
questions.
I'm meeting all these custom artists. And I really got into it. Next thing you know, I'm building my own fishing rods. You name it. I'm hand tying my own jigs, my spinner baits, everything. I'm doing it myself. But at a certain point, you kind of realize there's some serious talent out there. It may take you 30 years to catch up to these guys.
Yeah.
So I thought... Well, really, it was her idea. Why not become the platform to share all of their work with everybody?
That's, Brandon, you've got a serious taskmaster there next to you there. Sounds like Mrs. Beatles and I do whatever you want, but you need to fund this, pal, you know. You need to come with some cash to do this. If that's
pretty much what it was. Yeah.
There you go. You know, nothing like that to be inspiration to, get you going for your own hobbies. But then, it turns into a business. I love that. That's perfect. That's a great partnership,
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we've had a lot of different ideas over the years and really nothing has stuck. But this one, I think it's sticking. People are interested. People are signing up and we've got even people wanting to come on board and help us make our apparel top notch, and it's like this is okay.
The networking through all of this, getting to talk to all these talented people.
I had a pro fisherman call me yesterday.
It's been amazing.
Want to know what I'm doing?
Really cool journey. Because the knowledge that these people have is amazing, and getting to talk to them, or it's an honor that they want to be a part of it. We had.
You know your advertising is working when people like that are reaching out to you. I mean, I think that's a great sign. And that was, I guess, going to be one of my questions is, how are you getting out there? I mean, not having a storefront in Bloomington or Smithville, Indiana, isn't going to hurt you any, because that's not the market you're looking for. So how do you get that market? You've obviously found a way to do that.
It's social media for us right now. Social media and just
word
as
of
much
mouth.
Word of mouth as we can.
Yeah.
I mean, people put all their eggs in that social media basket, but you can't forget how powerful word of mouth is. It spreads like.
Well, word of mouth is the best. But a lot of people would love to have that, but you have to have something worth talking about. And obviously, you do. And I think that speaks well to your business model and you guys' personal interests and expertise in what you're doing. I think that's wonderful. We love seeing, that kind of innovation come to, the sporting life. It's badly needed. I think, if Buddy Bill were here, he'd tell you, the day of the old, bait barns are definitely numbered. That's just kind of not the way things work anymore.
Everybody wants to shop online.
Yep.
So we're bringing this online underground market that you don't even know exists.
Right.
We're bringing it into the light. And the bigger our platform gets, the more followers we start getting, the more these artists are going to get exposed. And I think one thing we didn't mention that we're doing is inside every box. So you're going to open this box up and you're going to have 6 to 8 handmade baits in here and some other goodies. Like for instance, Frog Togs, they threw in some 35% discount cards. And if you used this one time to buy a rain suit, you just got all your money back on this box.
There's nothing like Frog Togs. I officiate track and field in the spring outdoors. And it's raining most of the time. Half the time it's snowing. The weather's awful, but I wouldn't go anywhere without my Frog Togs, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are top notch. That's for
they
sure.
Are. They're comfortable. They fit over clothes. Nothing gets through them. They're easy to take on and off. Man, I just can't say enough about Frog Togs.
Love
them.
And they fought everything through down.
They really did.
Zippers and well thought.
That pilot suit is legit. But yes. So in this box, when you open it up, you've got the baits, you've got the little goodies we're throwing in. Yeah. And then there's also a card in there. And I think this is the most powerful thing that we're doing is there is a card inside this box that we're calling it Meet the Artist. And we're going to list every single company that is in there. We're going to tell you exactly how to get in touch with them to buy more.
Yeah. Wow.
That's something that not a lot of others are doing because, you know, they want you to keep doing their stuff. Hey, that's what we're here for.
We are the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's brilliant. You know, I mean, I think that's everybody wants to talk to the craftsman that does their stuff. I mean,
absolutely.
And it's very difficult to do that. A lot of those craftsmen, you know, try hard not to have to talk to a lot of people. So true. Getting them in touch with them and finding the people who want them are just great. And, you know, when I look at, you know, my grandfather was a great fisherman, a great outdoorsman. I was raised, in the summer times and spring and fall around the lakes up north. And he always said, you know, fishing is the most expensive hobby there is. You know, it really is. So,
it is.
You know, you really need to enjoy it. You really need to feel successful at it to keep doing it. And, you know, so many people are. And I think that's a great market. These people want to be in this hobby. They're willing to spend money to stay in it, obviously. And it's been a little dry spot. I'd look at my granddad's tackle boxes and, you know, I still have them and those beautiful old, things that he used to have. And they used to go to Canada a lot to fish. And, it was pretty common back then to go to a little bait shop where a guy'd be sitting who owned the bait shop. It was painting up, lures, that they knew were working at that lake right then. I mean, that all went away, of course, when, you know, the mass industrialization of fishing took place, back in the 60s and 70s. So, but that's
it still exists.
It's still a thing.
It's still there. It's just hidden. It's been
hidden
by the big box stores coming in, and we fully intend to bring it back.
Yeah.
We're going to show it to everybody because I'm telling you, you can, if you've got the right links, you can get on Facebook even and get lost for hours.
Oh, you can.
Thousands of different custom tackle companies out there.
Yeah.
So many guys who are still doing this stuff, they just don't know how to get noticed. If you watch them, they're selling on eBay, Facebook Marketplace,
Etsy.
There's no good place for them to sell their stuff.
Yeah.
They may have a webpage. The bigger ones may have a webpage. We're bringing their stuff to the public.
Yeah. I'm not sure web pages are the way to go anymore. I mean, I think you probably need one, but I don't think that's going to be your primary way to reach people. I spend an inordinate amount of time on YouTube trying to learn things. And I can tell you the people I know and what I'm interested in, which is woodworking, there are just, you talk about getting lost. Bring up woodworking on YouTube. You won't be done by the end of the day. Of just getting to what you can get to. So, you know, I just think all of these things, and you know, it's the same thing there. You'll look for somebody, some guy in, I don't know, Maine or New Mexico who does a particularly interesting joint for woodworking. And you can spend hours and he's got thousands of followers. I think that kind of direct reach for people. I mean, nobody's going to blunder into your site on YouTube. I mean, people who click on you on YouTube want to see what you have to do.
Exactly.
Yep. So, I mean, I think that you can't get any better direct advertising than that.
Now, are the boxes that you make, I'm just interested in, there's different kinds of fishing. You know, obviously there's fly fishing, there's lake fishing, there's, you know, stream fishing. Are you trying to like sort of cover all the bases, or can you be more specific in who you're targeting, or what kind of fishermen you're targeting?
So I'm a tournament bass fisherman. That is like who I am. If you cut me open, that's what I'm going to bleed. I mean, it's what I've always, well, still kind of new at the tournaments, but I'm a bass fisherman. But eventually, so that's where we're going to start because I've
It's what
I've got my head wrapped around it pretty decently to where I can find the quality. Like I can sift through these different tackle companies and I can find the best ones to put them in our box. Now, eventually we do want to transition and move into the other types of fishing, because I'm sure if this stuff exists in the bass fishing world, it surely exists in the fly fishing world, you know, the trout and salmon up in Michigan. I mean, I know it exists. And eventually we do plan to move in that direction too.
Yeah.
See where it takes us.
But for now, just it's mostly geared towards your serious bass fishermen right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So if Buddy Bill was on here, he'd want a box.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if Bill were here, he'd have a lot better questions for you than we do, I'm sure. I guess the question is, I mean, you're local here. I know you probably fished the tournaments here as well. What's the tournament picture look like for the coming year? I mean, it seemed to be like there was a big explosion of boats on the lake last year. I'm looking out there now. I don't see anybody. Of course, it's not really that good of weather for it. But I assume pretty soon we're going to be seeing I know there was a big tournament down in the Ozarks here recently, just like last week or a couple weeks ago, a couple guys I know went. But what are we looking at in terms of bass tournaments here at Monroe this year? Is it look like it's going to be bigger? What's the outlook here locally?
Last year, it was slow at first because COVID hit and all the tournaments got canceled, but everybody was fishing. Everybody went out and they were fishing, and you would see all these little jackpot tournaments that guys were just, you show up at the ramp and pay your $20 or $50, whatever it is. So there were still tournaments out there. But this year you can expect to see more organized tournaments, and they're going to be starting here in the next few weeks. I actually run one myself.
Yep.
Every Wednesday night at Moores Creek Boat Ramp.
Oh.
It's through the Indiana Bass Federation.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a member of the Indiana Bass Federation to fish it, though. You just have to be an associate member. It's like $20 a year. And fish our tournament. It's just a little jackpot from 6 to 9 every Wednesday night down at Moores Creek Boat Ramp.
Yeah.
Registration starts at 4. And our first one will be April 14th.
Okay.
Lake Monroe. And I don't know if it's because the water was so high for so many years. It was 2 or 3 years where the water was just insanely high and guys couldn't get to those fish. The fish were untouched in the timber and stuff.
Right.
It showed out. I mean, it showed out big time last year. And even the year before that, it was doing really well with some really, used to be when I was a kid, you could catch a few 7-pounders every year. Now it's to where that 7-pounder is a little bit rare, but 5 years ago it was nowhere to be seen. You're lucky to catch a 5, but now it's getting back to where 5s and 6s, you can get your hands on those.
And I think it's going to just keep getting better. And I don't know if, it was IBF, right?
Last year,
10,000, they introduced
35,000 bass,
35,000 largemouth fingerlings. So it's just going to keep, it's just going to keep getting better and better. And I think that, we're going to see a climb locally for our lake.
That's great.
It could be pretty ridiculous this year. Yeah. Fingers crossed. I'm hoping that our tournament is there's no boat limit this year. So bring it on, everybody.
Well, I know one or two weekends last year, down by the dam there, causeway, they ran out of parking spaces a couple of weekends because it was so big, people coming in. So, I'd love to see that get spread out to some other ramps around the lake, because I'll go by 2 or 3 of them on the way into town, and, there's nobody at some of those ramps down here on my end of the lake, down by the dam, Hardin Ridge. Some of those you got to pay to get into, but, a lot of times those are just wide open when I know everybody wants to get, down there to the causeway and get in quick and get moving. But boy, waiting in line down there, I'm glad I don't have my boat in the water down there.
Get out early.
That's what Brandon does. Brandon will put in at a different ramp, and then just putt over to the, you know, the causeway.
We live right. near, we live near the Moores Creek ramp. So,
okay.
Yeah. I usually just dump my boat in. Yeah. I can be in the water fishing in 15 minutes time.
There you go. Wow.
So, and I am often.
He utilizes that distance quite often.
That's true.
Every day. Yeah, every day.
I'll bet that's true.
Yeah. Well, my day job, I'm an insurance agent, so I have a little bit of flexibility with my hours, and it's not you're not unlikely to see the Farm Bureau boat putting around from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m.
Right. Right. I'll bet that's right.
Yep.
Well, that's great news, guys. I'm so happy for you. We'll look forward to a big season here on the lake, and you know, that's always you know, one of the best kept secrets. One of the guys I know that I probably comes to your Wednesday thing, Matt. Do you know Matt that has the mowing service? I know his name. I just don't want to say it on the air. Anyway, I thought that Wednesday afternoons was his deal. I think he probably comes to the Wednesday thing that you have there.
Oh, okay.
We know him, Matt. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
There's a couple of them actually.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
There are a couple Matts
that come and fish our Wednesday nighters.
Yep.
We used to run them out of Four Winds. They were called the Four Winds Shootouts. We were real good friends with the GM that worked there, and you know, we kind of worked together on those. But now he's retired. He no longer works there. So we switched it up a little bit, and I decided that my insurance business at Farm Bureau Insurance was going to sponsor them. So this year they're the Farm Bureau Shootouts, and they're every Wednesday night. Registration starts at 4 o'clock at Moores Creek.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But you don't have to pay the gate fee now. That's a big plus.
Yes. That's
I think that's, you know, that was always, you know, I never could understand why that, I mean, that just was, that's just so hard, that fee by at the door there for the Four Winds. I just have felt for many years that the Four Winds was one of the most underutilized resources in this entire area. And, you know, every time, you know, somebody figures out a way to make things a little different there, it kind of goes to the wayside after a while. But I mean, I look right out the door at it 24/7. And I'm looking at it and going, man, what a waste. So much more could be done.
That's why we tried, you know, for the years that we did, to bring as many people over as we could. And I'm hopefully as many people. We got married in Fairfax.
Yeah, Fairfax. So, area.
I mean, that area there is near and dear to our heart. That where the Big Oak Shelter is, that's where we got married.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
And so, I mean, yeah, we're out there, all that land out there. It's all public land. We go hiking, hunting.
Sure.
We're out there constantly.
Go get lost.
Yeah. Go get lost.
Yes.
Nothing better than that out here.
I know. It's the best.
Not a lot of time to do that right now.
Yeah. We're not a whole. Yeah. Right, yeah. This is kind of taking up a lot of time.
Yeah. You may be a little busy right now. Yeah.
We are. Yes.
I'm sure there's days where you'd like to be lost, but.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I think I may take this weekend and purposely go get lost.
Yeah. We're going to get lost.
I think that's an excellent prescription. I do.
Yes, exactly. Yes. They need to start prescribing that more often.
That's right.
Yes, for sure.
Yes. I think the world would be a happier place if people could go get lost every once in a
while. That's what this program's all about.
Yeah, get lost. That's right.
So get lost in nature.
That's right. Yep.
Do you have any other, do you have any idea about maybe what the future may bring? Are there other places that you'd like to go from here?
Well,
there are just,
it, you know, it's, we've got like this endless list of things we've talked about. We talked about hosting our own sport and travel shows, the Salt Creek Sport and Travel Show, you know, maybe have boats there too.
This just opened up a whole new world, and we're going to kind of let everybody else lead it. You know, we've got our ears open, and we want to hear from, you know, the people who are buying our subscribers, our boxes, people are buying the boxes, the artists, you know, this is just, we want to create the platform, listen to everybody else and follow what, you know,
we're just,
they suggest we are the face. We'll put it together. Let's see what,
I think one,
what comes of it.
Yeah. One day you may go on to saltcreektackle.com and you may be able to buy just about anything you want fishing related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now it's just the box.
Yeah.
But I see it. I might be able to get on saltcreektackle.com and buy a trolling motor one day.
Yeah.
Well, I just bought the box. Maybe we get these guys' baits on there too. I don't know.
You know, there was a fella in Anderson that my grandfather used to love to have him make his custom fishing rods. And you know, that old guy was old back in 1964. And I'm sure he's nowhere around. I'm sure that no one took over his business. But you know, you could used to be able to just in your own town probably find somebody who did that.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore. And I know that the more you find logistical, you know, ways to tap into those people and get those products out, you'll find them. You seem to be in the mainstream of the flow of the river for that kind of business. And, you know, I have no doubt that you'll find all kinds of things that are custom made that people would love to have, but you know, they're just not available locally in their area anymore.
Yeah. Or they are, and you just can't find
them. And you just don't know.
And that's why we're here. That's, so, you know, what we want to do. We want to be able to find people like, you know, your grandpa or, you know, this guy who, you know, they're still out there. You just, they're so buried under mainstream that you can't find them.
So let us do the advertising for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll build the platform. But that's what we're doing. We're going to build the platform. Yeah. And so if there's anybody out there who makes their own stuff, who's doing, you know, that's listening and does their own work, we want to hear from you. Head over to our webpage at www.saltcreektackle.com. And there's a little bar underneath the subscribe now button. There's a little bar under there that says, want your baits in our box. You click there, get in touch with us, and we'll see if we can help advertise for you as well.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we're excited. We're really excited.
Yeah, we're pumped.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that fishermen like to do or don't like to do is tell what they're using or where they're using it. So one thing that I've always thought would be kind of cool is if you could have some sort of a map of not where to go fishing, but what to expect at various places and maybe to try to tailor your fishing experience somewhat. It seems like at this point in with everything being online that it would be a good thing to just kind of be able to say, you know, these are the kind of baits that we're using, like right in this area or whatever. And to be able to even like focus it even more, you know, if you happen to say, like if somebody calls you up or writes into you, can they say, well, here's my lake, here's what I try to do here, here's what fish are here, what would you suggest? Are you willing to go into that level of, you know, sort of customizing things?
I think we are. Absolutely. So we've kicked around the idea. I'm just throwing it out there because it may happen. Depending on how fast this goes, it may happen. We may create a Hoosier box that's geared towards Indiana.
Right.
I don't know all the different states.
Florida
box, an Ohio box, a Michigan box.
Right.
Because what the guys are using in Michigan right now is very different from what the guys are using in Florida. So definitely. And there have been platforms that have been created that have tried to do what you're talking about, but they didn't really take off.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, but it's not, you know, not utilized by everyone. So, yeah, I think you may see something like that in the future from us.
Are you able to see, obviously, where your orders are coming from, but is there a preponderance of a part of the country or that you're selling to? Do you notice anything like that yet?
It's been nationwide so far. I mean, of course, we have, you know, a lot of our buddies who, you know, bought boxes. So, you know, we have a lot of Indiana, but, I mean, we're going to be shipping all over the nation. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, where the states that are coming in and that we're reaching people all the way to the West Coast. And, you know, it's just so cool that other people think this idea is cool.
And hence the need for one day a West Coast box, because if you go out there to Clear Lake in California, man, I don't know if a 12-inch swim bait could fit in here.
Yeah, even a totally different box.
Yeah, exactly. 15 pounders. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. You know, it may happen one day. We just, you know, baby steps, I guess. Kind of like I said, I bleed bass fishing. I got into the tournament scene probably 5 years ago, and I've made a lot of friends. And I just noticed that there's no subscription box geared towards the serious guys. It's all geared towards beginners and just people who.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with the other boxes. We just wanted to add
adding my own flavor.
Yeah. Adding our own flavor to what's already out there.
And even like a beginner can pick up this box. And the only difference is I hate to say this, but this stuff's better. It is. Yeah. It's handmade. It's
right.
But, you know, I think, you know, one of the conundrums of fishing is that, you know, the sport gets so much better and is so much more sustainable when there are more and more and more fishermen. The average fisherman would not want that. They would want to be all alone on the lake by themselves. So yep. There is that conundrum. But, you know, fishing is one of those things that is to somewhat self-sustaining through the DNRs of various states, like here in Indiana. You know, the only reason we get fish stocked is because people buy fishing licenses and go to tournaments. So, you know, I think that's really important. And I think that's a message that this show's always had. And that's how do we find ways to grow support for the outdoors? Obviously with fishing, you know, tournament fishing really, I can't imagine that tournament fishing is not a high percentage of the fishing that takes place in America. Yeah. There's, you know, farm ponds where, you know, a couple guys will go out, but day in and day out on the big lakes in the United States, from here down through the South, in the Plain States, up north around Minnesota, all those, the tournament fishing is big business and it brings in a lot of fishing. I would think that that's, you know, something that is going to make the sport grow and sustain the ability to have fishing.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. And I've been screaming this from the rooftops forever. Bass fishing, tournament bass fishing is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Sure.
I mean, and I'm not exaggerating when I use the B word, billion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure that's
so
true.
Much money in it. I helped direct the Indiana Bass Federation. I was like an assistant director a couple of years ago. And so I was in on all the sponsorship deals with the local chambers and things like that, and talking with these folks. And we would put together these sheets that would show exactly how much money we're going to bring. And this is a local tournament. This is not like a regional or national event. This is just a local Indiana Bass Federation event. And the money that you're bringing to French Lick by having a tournament there at Patoka, the money that's coming into Bloomington is ridiculous.
Yeah. The anglers here.
Yeah. Because these
the hotels,
guys,
the food, the gas, the just whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, these tournament fishermen are not afraid to spend money either. I mean, look at them pulling the $80,000 rigs.
Yeah. I notice them going by the house all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope one day to have one of those. I don't have one yet, but I'm just saying the money that it brings to the communities, to the areas is ridiculous. And I don't think people realize how much of an impact it makes.
I don't think so either. I think you're correct.
If it went away, you would see parts of the outdoors, not the fishing, like the outdoors as a whole, fall apart because we put so much funding into it. And just even just keeping the lakes clean.
Yep.
I mean, sure, we fish with lead sometimes, but at the same time, we're also cleaning up.
Yeah.
You know,
and restocking.
And restocking. And just like the Indiana Bass Federation, they put, what was it? I may have said 35,000. It was 3,500 largemouth. No, I can't remember. It was a lot of largemouth.
Yeah. And you know, same with Patoka. They've done multiple areas, lakes, waters, bodies of water in Indiana.
They stocked Raccoon. They stocked Patoka. Yeah. They stocked Monroe. And I mean, I don't know the other lakes that are on that list, but.
Yeah.
That's great information, guys. That's, you know, we love hearing that.
Yeah, I think a big part of, you know, conservation and taking care of what we have is, you know, it's key. It's so, how are you going to ever catch that 7-pound fish if you're not going to keep it alive? You know, like you have to be thinking about, you know,
take care of the water,
taking care of the environment. And
well, it's true. And we talk about that all the time on the show for the last 20 years. And, you know, in keeping things clean and making sure you bring out what you bring in. And, exactly. And then also, you know, we talk a lot about water quality and, that, you know, that's a, it's a problem. There's runoff coming in from all kinds of places, from septic systems and this and that. So there, it is not just a one, just a one focus deal on just bass. You know, it's really got to take into consideration all the things that make a lake healthy. And I agree that the money that you bring in and the way that you treat the lake is important. Do you feel like because you're a bass fisherman and do tournaments, do you see improvements that are needed around here? Do you see things that we do better? I'm just wondering how you feel about Indiana in general.
You know, I think that there is a gap in Indiana with the Department of Natural Resources as far as how things are taken care of compared to other states.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that, I also think that the fishermen make up for that gap around here because we all see it.
That's interesting.
And we do. We go the extra mile to clean. I mean, I see guys doing it all the time. I would love to. So I've been working with the Boy Scouts of America here recently. We had a call, a couple months ago, mm-hmm. about the possibility of putting stations at the ramps to dispose of your old line mm-hmm. and to dispose of the soft plastics that are laying in the bottom of your boat instead of pitching them off the side of your boat. I mean, that's foolish. You shouldn't do that.
Yep.
And then also, I have, who was Friends of Lake Monroe. I've taken
them quite a bit.
I have literally taken them out and we've mapped the doggone just about the whole entire bottom of the lake. We ran for two entire days. We ran transects from one side to the other, back and forth, just to try and
just for depth.
Siltation is what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Trying to, and you believe it or not, it's the findings were really, really positive and good. And the water quality, as far as I know, it all came back better than they expected.
Yeah.
I know Friends of Lake Monroe, they're really trying to bridge that gap between DNR and the fishermen, and they do a lot of work there to try and bring that together.
Well, what we hear, you know, shortcomings potentially of the Indiana DNR. We've had a number of those people on the show over the years. You know, I know they don't feel that way, but you can't help but go to other states and fish or hunt and not notice the difference in that state's DNR and our state's DNR. It's a noticeable difference. Some of it may be superficial, but in the end, there's a difference. And I think that's noticeable. And, you know, I'm not sure how to fix that. I think a lot of it has to do with, I think the Indiana DNR is far more shorthanded than most states' DNR. I don't know how they would even begin to cover all of the areas that they are in charge of effectively. I mean, how often, Brandon, do you see the DNR when you're out on the lake? I mean, do you see DNR frequently, infrequently, never?
It's getting more and more recently. So just not too long ago, I was fishing in the back of Ramp Creek, there where Will Souders Road comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I pull in there and that boat ramp right there, usually there's some fish in that area. And I see the DNR out there and they're picking up trash. I mean, I think people need to not be putting the trash there, obviously.
For sure.
That's a push that needs to be done. But I do see it improving. And I see that people are talking about it. It's people are bringing it up just like right here.
Acknowledgement.
Right now.
Yeah.
It's been acknowledged. And I think that groups like Friends of Lake Monroe, my experience with them has been very positive.
Yep.
And I think that gap is being bridged, and I think that it's getting better.
Well, I think the Friends of Lake Monroe folks are, their heart is in the right place. And I can't say that about every group that's claimed to have been Friends of Lake Monroe, but these people's, I think, are. And I think there is expertise within that group to actually help that situation.
Yeah,
I really do.
I've been to one of the meetings and it was positive.
I would just say, if you're seeing improvements in how you feel the DNR are perceived by people who are talking about those kinds of things, and you personally that you've seen, you know, that may actually be due to the new DNR chief, who's, you know, from Bedford. He's a local guy. You know, I think he's got his hands full with that job. But if you're seeing improvements, I think that probably directly relates to his new tenure. We'll see how that goes. You know, we'll see if he has the wherewithal to get enough funding to make his job easier and to make it more effective. But I, you know, none of those things happen by accident. You know, Brandon, I think if you're noticing things getting better, they're getting better for a reason, not because it's an accident.
Absolutely. Right. They don't happen on accident, and they don't happen overnight either. Right. So that's something, and you're going to hear a lot of people stuck in the past.
Yeah.
That moaning and groaning and grumbling, but
we have to move on, and we all have to take responsibility. I use the lake. He uses the lake. You use the lake. You know, this is not just on DNR.
Yep.
This is not just DNR. This is
it is not.
Absolutely.
No, I mean it's bigger than what they are. It's bigger than their funding. And that's when, you know, people like us come into play, where we live here. This is part of, you know, our home. And so it's part of our responsibility to, you know, find those gaps. And if you see a gap, you know, acknowledge it.
Pick up the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't throw that in the lake.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. You bring up a great point, and I think that it's a point that has been missed by almost everybody who's ever claimed to be, you know, interested in helping Lake Monroe. And that's that I live right here, so do you. Yeah. There's nobody that has more interest in making sure that this lake is well taken care of than me or you, mm-hmm. because this is our home.
It is, yep.
You know,
we have to look at that trash.
We have to look at the runoff. I'm the last person who wants to mess in my lunch kit. I can tell you that.
Yes.
So, you know, the notion that aspect of protecting Lake Monroe has not ever been fully explored is a conundrum to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I and a lot of the people I know, you wouldn't find anybody. Well, maybe a few. Who we probably know aren't interested in taking care of the lake, even though they live here. But those people are rare. The average person that lives around this lake wants nothing more than to see their major asset in life well taken care of. And I don't think that's been explored. And I think, you know, you bring that point out. This is our home. We live here.
Right.
You know, nobody's going to take better care of it than me.
Yeah, it affects us more than it does anyone else. And so that's when, you know, you find that gap and you have to step in. And you know, we have a 3- and 4-year-old and they are picking up trash all the time. You know, we take them for a hike and we take bags to throw the trash away.
You leave it better than you found it.
You leave it better.
The water and the woods are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I love that you're saying that, because it's so true that you have to take responsibility, and people don't seem to see the web that this weaves. I mean, we have eagles here now. We have so many other species that are affected by fishing. You don't think that they would necessarily, but you know, if they get caught up in some line that's been left there, or if they swallow something bad like the lead that has been used. So
it's devastating.
I wanted to ask about that too, like. You know, you talk about the rubber bands and things, but are you also considering, it sounds like you are, but, you know, is there a movement to make safer ways of fishing the same way there is with hunting?
It's called tungsten.
Tungsten. Yeah,
right.
Tungsten is, the problem is it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will be completely honest. There's very little lead products that I fish with. I'll fish with lead on a spinnerbait or a jig maybe, but the more you start using tungsten, you'll find the benefits,
it's better,
are worth the price. In our boxes, that's another thing that we're going to have in our boxes too, not every month, but on some months we're going to throw in some high quality tungsten sinkers for people to try. And so you take a tungsten sinker out there and compare it to a lead one, it's much smaller and it's much more sensitive.
You can feel,
I can count pebbles with a tungsten sinker. I can't do that. You know, this would be a half ounce tungsten sinker. This would be a half ounce lead sinker.
Right.
You know, there's just, the benefits are incredible. You're going to find some tungsten jigs in our boxes. So, and I think that, you know, some of your fishermen, they are using lead products, but the benefit of the conservation that they're offering elsewise far outweighs the negative of the use of lead. And I will say it's being phased out slowly.
It's definitely a thing in the fishing world, I think.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think that the fishermen they care more about the performance of tungsten over lead than they do about the conservation part. But it's still a good thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still a great thing.
What's the difference in cost generally? Do you know?
It's quite a bit. I haven't fished with lead sinkers in a long time.
Yeah. I don't think we have any.
I can tell you that,
it's more than double.
It's more than double.
Okay.
The price. Yeah. We'll say that. And that's why a lot of people, you know, a lot of fishermen kind of,
most of your tournament fishermen are going to be using
tungsten. They do use tungsten.
Of course they are.
And it's just because if you and I are fishing against each other and we're both trying to find, so there's, let's say there's a pea gravel point coming out and there's two or three really big rocks on it and you've got a lead sinker and I've got a tungsten sinker, I will find that immensely faster than you will.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, guys are really, most of them, not all of them, there's some guys who still, they use lead, whatever, but most of them are going with tungsten.
Yeah. I mean, they're already figuring they're spending, you know, $100,000 a year anyways on a tackle. Might as well, you know.
Spend 102.
Yeah, 102.
What's eight more dollars for a sinker? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it goes back to the tournament part. If I think, and that's kind of where this is at, if I think that I can spend $5 and make $5,000 in a tournament, I'm going to spend that $5 every single time.
Sure.
There you go.
No, that's really important. And I think it's also, you know, those sort of things will be more obvious, you know, if you, to me, it's like if you can talk about it and show it, then it becomes more important. It's, you know, it's something that you should talk about because it really is something that makes a big difference to the future of fishing for our children and grandchildren and stuff, you know, that unfortunately in this country, a lot of people don't seem to think about too much, but you know, I'm glad to hear that you have that in mind because it's so important to just to make everything sustainable, you know.
You know, I think in the end, Rich, Brandon, Amy, I think that you know, it's one thing when a group of fishermen get together and they find some you know, pretty aggressive individual getting in their face and putting their finger in their chest and going, you can't tell me you're using lead, right? Well, you know where that's going, okay?
Oh yeah.
But when tournament fishermen get together and go, guys, I gotta tell you, this tungsten is the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be guys dropping lead 1,000 times faster than if some person with an environmental axe to grind, and you know, I think we all do. But there are people who bring that up in a way that's just not productive, you know. But I think, you know, it's a subtle environmental change that I think often gets overlooked.
Yep. It has to be introduced. Presentation is everything.
It's just a byproduct of the, you know, it's just a wonderful thing that it turns out that tungsten is way better for fishing than lead anyways.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're serious about it. I will say though, I know some fishermen who can straight up get it using lead sinkers.
Sure.
I don't know. I use tungsten. I like it, and it's good for the environment. It's better.
Well, there's the aspect of if it was good enough for my grandpa, it was good enough for me. I mean, you know, there's that. You're not going to get over that very easy.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're never going to change the world in one thing. It's just little ripples.
Yep.
Well,
how much time we got?
We're running a little short of time. I was just about to bring that up. We got about 3-4 minutes left. Okay. So why don't you tell us the audience again, how they can reach you and find you and go from there.
We are www.saltcreektackle.com. We've got, you can reach out to us through there, or you can email info@saltcreektackle.com or meet us out on the water.
Yep. Just look for the Salt Creek Tackle Boat. It's going to have it's got a great big Salt Creek Tackle logo, and it's got a great big Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance logo on it. Yeah, you can't miss it.
So,
if you see me out there, just pop up and say hello.
Perfect. Well, honk when you drive by. I'm the only guy with a stairway up the side of the hill here on right across from the Four Winds, so it's hard to miss me.
Oh, wow. We're going to have to find you then.
Yeah, that.
So cool. Yeah.
I'll honk when I drive by.
Yeah, we'll start honking at you. but we'd love to hear from people. You know, we'd like to hear from our community. And any questions about the box, reach out. We're excited. We're excited about this.
We are open for any and all ideas. You know, we by no means think we've got it all figured out.
Absolutely not.
We have this box idea. It seems to be catching speed. It seems to be going really well. But then again, like I said, we don't think we're open to anything.
If you're, serious about bass fishing, and I know a lot of people are around here and you're hearing our show, try them out. And, I think it's really neat that you can, it's hard to find quality things. So I think the box is a great idea because you've got a chance to really try some stuff and see what works for you. And then also to move forward and buy what you exactly need. So that's just a fantastic idea.
And these artists are just guys like us who, they're just wanting their small business to flourish. Yep. And
they're trying to build a little retirement on the side.
Yeah. So you're supporting local, or U.S.
Local U.S. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, they're guys like me, except they have talent.
Hey, I did a little commercial not too long ago, and I mentioned that my stuff is not in this box.
Not in the box.
I make my own stuff, but these guys are top notch. I'm telling you.
No shame there, Brandon. No shame.
Yeah.
Dishonesty.
And the last thing I was going to say is if you're making these things locally, then you want to get in touch with them too, because there's a chance that maybe you'll be in the box yourself or your product. So
absolutely.
info@saltcreektackle.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
All right. Well, another hour has gone. This has been a fantastic show. I enjoyed listening to everything you're doing. And so thanks. We'll have you on again.
Awesome.
Thanks
Sounds
so much,
good.
Guys.
All right, so that's about it. We're still got a lake level of 543. It's a little high right now, but you guys can go fishing. It's a perfect time. So get out there with your tackle box and get a box from Salt Creek Tackle. Thanks for being on the show.
Awesome.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.